WWGXC 90.7 FM radio station from Accra, Catskill, Harrison. Listener supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
We want to know what you think. WGXC invites listeners to share their ideas, input, feedback, praise, and critiques. Email feedback at wgxc.org or drop a note at our Hudson studio at 704 Columbia Street, second floor.
This is WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Hudson, Catskill, and this is the first Thursday of the month. This is the Art of the Hudson Valley, and the host is me, Chad Weckler, and today I've got a couple special guests, and they are...
Deanie Lemo from Human Sexual Response, and... Wendell Davis from Human Sexual Response here to make sure you don't cause any trouble.
Thank you, Wendell. And that was our song, Jackie Onassis, from our first album release, Figure 14, in 1980. And how are you, Chad?
Hey, I'm great on a lovely sunny day, Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. Really great. Thank you so much for inviting us in. We're really excited about the station. It's great that you're here. Fantastic. And all the power to you. Good luck. And what a great start.
And both of you are Hudson residents?
Since 2000. And we moved here and opened up the Hudson River Theater. Some of you might remember that. And had a bunch of wonderful performers come up from the city. We traded that building for the Inn at Hudson, and that's what we run now. And occasionally I do perform as my alter ego, Musty Chiffon.
Where and when did Human Sexual Response get started?
Well, before Human Sexual Response, we had a country and western band, and it all started because of our friend Tom Lear. You might remember him from the Vatican Rag. He threw a party in Boston and told all the people coming, you have to perform a song. So we got together and we wrote, my brother mostly, Larry Bangor, wrote the song we're going to play for you next called Plain Brown Rapper.
So this was never on a CD or an album or...
No, actually the recording you're going to play is in our living room at 53 Center Street in Brookline, Mass. You can hit that now, Sarah, if you'd like. Here's Plain Brown Rapper by Honey Bee and the Meadow Muffins. All right, so that was our beginnings. We ended up playing at the In Square Men's Bar in Cambridge, Mass., the Hillbilly Ranch in downtown Boston, and all assorted other exciting venues across the Northeast.
And who was in that band?
That consisted of Larry Bangor, Casey Cameron, Wendell Davis, and myself, Deanie Lamoe.
And it should be noted that Larry Bangor is Deanie Lamoe's brother.
Yeah, we just have different last names.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, being from Bangor, Maine, he was dubbed Larry Bangor. Anyways, the country thing lasted for a couple of years, but at the time we were listening to such bands as Roxy Music, Devo, Television, B-52s, the Ramones, and we really wanted to go in a different direction. Casey at the time worked for Little Brown & Company and had a hugely successful book sale called Human Sexual Response. And she said, I thought that would be a great name for the band. And we researched, realized if it's for a band, we weren't going to infringe on their copyright. Mm. So we called the band Human Sexual Response.
We wanted to be a rock band, though, because here we were in a cappella and sometimes with musicians, like on this recording, country band. But we really wanted to be a rock band. We'd go to see the Ramones. We'd be one of five people in the audience. Or two
or Blondie.
Of five people in
we
the
saw
audience.
Blondie at the Rathskeller in Boston. There were about 12 people there.
First time I saw Patti Smith, I was one of about seven people. Right. So we put Human Sexual Response together.
Yeah. Did either of you play instruments, or were you both vocals?
Well, I play piano, but just mainly for writing songs. Mm. I'm not really a player, but I can sit and write.
But Larry, Deanie, Casey, and I were the four singers, and then we had three musicians.
And we auditioned for musicians, and one of them came in and auditioned on Pots and Pans and Buckets Turned Upside Down. That turned out to be our drummer, Malcolm Travis, and we picked him right away. He was amazing.
And what was your first experience, your first...
Our first gig was at a strip joint in downtown Boston called the Birdcage.
In the combat zone.
It was really incredible. The bar was... So you had the people in the bar sitting at stools at a bar, and behind the bar was the stage. It was very cool. Anyways, we...
We should play Sex.
Yeah, we're going to play What Does Sex Mean to Me, which is
our
West Coast hit. This is written by Larry Bangor, and that's him singing lead. So.
Sitting next
Dini, what does sex mean to you?
Oh, I couldn't tell you on air. Anyways, unbelievable to hear that. It's been so long. Actually, I don't sit around listening to it, but La, you sound great. Rich Gilbert on guitar now plays for Jack White. And so he's touring with Jack White. Chris McLaughlin, the bass player, is a lawyer in Boston who tried to become a judge, but they found out about human sexual response. And he couldn't become a judge. And Malcolm Travis has his own band. He lives in Providence, Rhode Island. Casey Cameron, singing Jackie O before, lives in San Jose, California. Oh, and our locals are off and out. Oh, that's my ride. Gotta go. No, just kidding. Anyways, Jackie Onassis, sorry, I have to put this in, was originally written, I Want to Be Diane von Furstenberg. Larry and I worked for Saks Fifth Avenue at the time. And I said, well, you got to write it about somebody a little more exciting. So we picked Jackie. The last song, What Does Sex Mean to Me? The line, I don't know if anyone caught it. I licked Betty Ford's boots. It's true. She wore them all over China. It is true. A little lady, when I worked at Saks, came up to me from the shoe department. Oh, Mr. Dini, these shoes have to get to Maryland by tomorrow. I'm like, what's the big deal? Betty Ford's shoes. I promptly took them into my office and gave them a good licking. So 2 weeks later, there she was with them on the Great Wall of China, front page of Newsweek.
What color were they, and were they tasty?
They were beige and quite tasty. Unfortunately, she wasn't in them.
She was later. So we're actually going to go into another song.
Yeah, this is one that Dini's singing.
Yeah, Law wrote me this song, and I don't know what he was trying to get through to me about, but this is called Marone Moan. You can hit that, Sarah, and Marone Moan, human sexual response.
Like a wheel within a wheel, sparks, I feel the grating friction between us. Metal needs metal and wood needs wood. It's an addiction between us. Like two hands of a clock that cross, don't stop. The time is wasted between us. Minute by minute with less and less in it till there is nothing between us. And though the void will swallow me, I must plunge into the empty well that waters us. Will I fall or just dissolve a bit of dust? Am I asking for too much?
Oh,
I hope no one's embarrassed that I'm head bopping here in the studio.
Oh, no.
I can't help it. Dini, you're a very busy performer.
Well,
what's going on tomorrow?
I'm landscaping most of the time or serving breakfast to guests at the end. But tomorrow at Club Helsinki, Thin Edge Films, Margot and Lisa are having a benefit for their film Thirsty. And Thirsty happens to be a friend of mine from Provincetown that I met years ago and when we moved to P-Town. And this film is about her life. Hmm. And Thirsty Burlington, if you don't know, is a female impersonator. And quite good, lots of fun. That's at 9 p.m. tomorrow night at Club Helsinki at 405 Columbia Street here in Hudson. And, you know, you can call them up, 828-4800.
And Musty will be...
I'll be there singing a couple of songs to help support the cause. So check it out, doing some...
And Stephen Bloom will be also... Is he the MC?
Stephen is the MC, and he's also going to sing.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So between Musty and Stephen and Thirsty, it... should prove to be a very fun night.
Do you know if the film's in progress or is it?
I think so. I think they've already started shooting.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So should be good.
And Helsinki loves you. I attended the Martini.
The Christmas show.
Martini's Musty.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Mistletoe Martinis.
It was a
Christmas show. Yeah.
Packed house.
Thank you. Really fun. Well, that's because we had all the local artists performing and. Promoting their upcoming shows.
But what
shows.
An amazing venue. Club Helsinki is incredible. What an addition to Hudson is wonderful.
As you guys are, so is Helsinki, moving Hudson into the forefront.
We are the performance center of the Hudson Valley, I think.
Cool. All right, what are we going to do next, Chad? For us?
Well, we were thinking about global warming in the 70s.
A long time before a lot of people were. So anyway, let's cue up this next song, Sarah, if you don't mind. This is Larry's interpretation of global warming and our song Southern Exposure.
Bye.
oh, it's hot. It's cool. Deanie, when was that recorded? What album?
That was recorded in 1982 in South Orange, New Jersey at the House of Music. And funny thing, a little note, is we were recording at the same time that Kool and the Gang were recording. And so we referred to them as the Pool. No, they referred to us as the Pool Jerks. And we recorded, we called them Pool and the Gang
because
we hung out at the swimming pool all the time. It was an amazing time because it was the end of the industry really giving artists a lot of money. They gave us a lot of money. They would tote us back and forth from Jersey to Manhattan by limousine on a daily basis.
They paid for our producer, Mike Thorne.
Right, who produced Wire. He produced, you know, that.
He was in Wire and he produced
Tainted Love. So, I mean, we had a blast back then. It was so much fun. Anyway, Southern Exposure, Larry Bangor. Where is Larry when we need him?
So it sounds like you guys were kind of crazy. Were you just sitting around reading books?
Well, we had no time for crazy because we were performing all the time. Yeah, you know, we were on tour for basically 7 years. So when in the 70s, when everyone else was just staying up all night, we had to be careful of our voices.
Right. We didn't do drugs in the 70s.
Of course not.
We couldn't. No. We had to sing 6-7 nights a week. So 4 vocalists, 4-part harmonies. And we'd literally be going city to city on a nightly basis overnight, you know, driving.
In my checkered taxi, that was my car.
Well, where did you like to perform? What were your most
favorites? College radio really, really made us quite famous. And so we basically did all college cities. We played everywhere from Harvard University to the University of L.A.
Providence, Rhode Island was
big,
totally
hot.
A blast.
Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, all over.
San Diego.
Had a blast.
Austin, Texas was amazing.
Did you tour by yourselves or did you go with other bands?
All on our own.
Toured on our own. But wherever we played, they'd have an opening act for us. Oh, let me tell you all a story about the phone that wouldn't shut off.
That's someone's cell phone.
It's a little bit
it's
crazy.
It's
kind of
cool. It's a little bit hot. All right. Anyways, we're going to play you a song. We're going to go back to the first album, which was recorded in 1979 in Boston, Massachusetts at the Cyclorama Dome. I don't know if you're familiar with the Boston Center for the Arts. It is a circular brick building, the Cyclorama Dome, and we recorded there. This is from our song, first album, Figure 14, and the song is titled Guardian Angel.
Yeah.
I wish I was the lead singer on that, Chai. But I channeled my voice through my brother.
Well, your voice does have a personality all of its own, not including, I mean, yourself too. But
thank you. And in the Musty Chiffon intro, they used to say, ladies and gentlemen, here she is, the Sybil of Cabaret.
Anyway. So we're here in lovely Hudson. Just wanted to remind people some of the things that are going on. I'm being a little selective what's happening in Hudson for the next couple of days. Today, Cinco de Mayo. There's parties at Club Helsinki, American Glory, and Mexican Radio. I hope everybody is out enjoying a margarita and salsa. Tomorrow night, Alexander Turnquist is performing at History Laboratory.
That's going to be great.
With, cool. And there's a video by Megan Michalak and a video performance by Jen Harris. And, of course, already mentioned the Thirsty Benefit with Thirsty Burlington and Musty Chiffon and Stephen Bloom. Saturday, Hudson is really becoming a very busy place. If you're just at home reading a book, I hope it's a good book and you're enjoying yourselves. But you need to be out in Hudson. I think every day something's going on. Saturday, thousands of people are coming to Hudson to be at the third annual Hudson Children's Book Festival. Last year, I think they said 5,000 people came.
Yeah, our bed and breakfast is full of them.
Your bed and breakfast is always busy.
Well,
and
that,
full.
But it is. They're all arriving with their books. Yep.
Over 100, I think 111 authors and illustrators and people who love children's books. Saturday, one. And the oldest Hudson Parade, the Hudson Fire Department Inspection Day Parade. That starts at 5 p.m. Here, just across the street at 7th Street Park.
Oh, I love a good truck.
And I like the Fireman's Museum. Have you been there? It's really, really amazing. Do not miss it if you're here.
Yeah, if you ever come to Hudson, you have to see this. It's like three football fields of engines, horse-drawn engines. It's amazing. Have you ever
antique
been?
Parade vehicles plus a 1960s ambulance. It's amazing.
Yeah. I have to admit, I have not been.
Oh, you got to go. You got to go.
You've shamed me.
Oh, that's okay.
And Sunday is Mother's Day. Who was that?
That was somebody looking for their mother, I think.
Yeah. Sunday being Mother's Day, I'll just mention two things that are going on. Mother's Day cruise on the Spirit of Hudson. That's something I actually would like to do.
It's really fun. I did it last year for Gay Pride, or for Hudson Pride. I was the performer on the boat, on that cruise boat.
Oh my God,
it was so much fun. I mean, I was.
I'm going to segue right into Wendell because...
I have something about Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Is the Columbia County Young Democrats and Human Rights Campaign present March On. It's a film at the Basilica Hudson. Just the Basilica Hudson alone is a draw, but this is a really great film, and it's a great benefit, and that is Saturday at the Basilica.
7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, good. And also, speaking of the Spirit of Hudson and Pride, in June, next month, this year is the second year that Hudson is celebrating Pride.
Trixie Power.
It's 3 days this year, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, Friday is the boat cruise.
Yeah. And who's performing?
Well, they're
Charmed and Dangerous.
Yeah.
Both cruises, Charmed and Dangerous. They started at the Hudson. Well, they didn't start at the Hudson River Theater, but we had them a lot when they were under another name, and they are now Charmed and Dangerous, and they're fantastic burlesque review, guys and gals all taking it off for fun.
And like Hudson, totally mixed up in terms of, you know, who desires what. It's really crazy and really fun. Two cruises, one sort of sunset and the other one after dark.
Oh, that's great. And
the 18th, of course, is the big parade.
That's become, last year for a very first event, a parade, was fabulous.
Yeah, it was a blast.
It was, and going down to front and Warren, I understand, everybody was saying afterwards, why haven't we been down here before?
Yeah, to visit the Statue of St. Winifred. It's gorgeous.
You know, do you know what I loved? The Dunk-a-Hunk.
Yes.
Did you see that?
I took pictures.
Wasn't that great? That was so funny. Oh, my God. Homer was the hunk they dunked. And it was so cute to see little kids throwing baseballs at Homer. All right.
The Washington Hose Building, the fire station at the bottom of Warren Street, is now being restored to be the home of Columbia County Chamber of Commerce. It's so great to see that building coming back. It's a great building, and definitely go down and see that park, St. Winifred, and the beautiful view. Yep. Incredible.
Let's segue into another song. Wendell, what do you think we should go into now?
Well, one of my personal favorites, if not my favorite, Land of the Glass Pine Cones. It was written at my best friend's wedding in Casanova, New York.
So the wedding took place. We sang Jackie Onassis to an Auchincloss who was in the front row, chatted with her, and then we proceeded to have a few beers. And they had those little mini beers, and I placed them. I walked out behind the house, and it was moonlight, full moon, beautiful night. I stuck them all over this pine tree, perfectly decorated the pine tree with the little beer bottles, and called my brother out. I said, "Locke, come look at this." And he goes, "Oh, my God, Land of the Glass Pine Cones." And he wrote the song right there and then.
Wow.
And we sang it to Wendell's father on the way home in the car,
who said, "Very interesting."
And it has become a Christmas time favorite in Boston. You'll always hear on FNX or BCN, you'll hear this, Land of the Glass Pine Cones, written by Larry Bangor.
All a part of nature's plan. All a part of nature's plan. Land of the glass.
Wendell, I now know why it's your favorite song. that it's a wonderful song. Dini, what are some of those lyrics?
My favorite part is the splinters fly throughout the land and pierce the eye of every man. Land of the glass pine cones, they smash on the grass when the wind blows.
Oh, that's perfect at Christmas time.
It is a very nice Christmas tune. So,
speaking of influences, what are some of the people that influenced you and in your writing and your performancing?
Well, I really, really love Joni Mitchell, and just listening to her is how I learned how to play the piano by ear. Mm. And so that was one of my first influences. I basically graduated high school by sitting in a 35-foot triangular concrete room with a 12-foot Steinway grand piano most all day long. That's how I spent my last 2 years. That's how I got credits. But I couldn't. The best thing was I had a really good girlfriend who could read and write music. I couldn't. Hmm. So she would write out all my sheet music for me, and I'd sit and play it in class. And I got away with murder that way. But I hope nobody from Bangor High is listening. They'll take my diploma away.
Is that before you ran away to California?
That is before I ran away to California, right? Before, during, and after. But my influences were Joni Mitchell, Joplin, Janis, not Scott, Janis, Ian, not Joplin, Ian Underwood, you know, Jethro Tull, David Bowie, Roxy Music, Brian Eno, Dave Brubeck, Edith Piaf, a few to mention that I really like. And the list goes on. But.
And you guys hung out kind of with people like Devo?
Not so much. We played with the Ramones a few times.
Yeah, quite a few times. Iggy Pop,
Public Image,
a few times.
Iggy Pop, Public Image.
We were on tour. We couldn't, you know, it was hard running into people when you were always just behind them or just ahead of them, you know.
Unless you were in a recording studio together.
Right, right. Like Cool and the Gang.
Yeah. What are some of the, besides influences, when I think about, I mean, I consider you a very creative person. You write, you sing, you perform, you're a photographer. What drives Dini?
I don't know. I started my business career at age 12. I lied to the Woolworth Company and got a job mopping their floors. And then I went on to dig graves in a graveyard in Bangor, Maine. And then I had a little band in high school. And then I ran away when I was I ran away once when I was 14 with my 18-year-old girlfriend. We were on our way to British Columbia to join a commune, and then we got arrested in Findlay, Ohio, for being suspicious looking. And then I came back. My father had to come get me. Came back. We were in jail for 3 days for being suspicious looking. And they outlawed that. Now you can't be arrested for suspicion of character.
Otherwise, you'd be in real trouble.
I'd still be there.
Yeah.
I came back to Bangor. Then I ran away again when I was 15, and with my cousin, and her brother worked for the Grateful Dead
in San Francisco
and the New Riders of the Purple Sage. So I ran away to San Francisco. I lived at 21st and Guerrero, and I worked a little bit for the Dead and the New Riders in a band called Rider. Then,
but why did you come?
Well,
back?
I came home because the Dead had a camp out in the Mere Woods, and I ingested by mistake a mushroom, and it made me decide the next day that I'd better go home and finish high school. So I had a little epiphany, and
they allowed you back into school.
They did, and I didn't miss a beat. I didn't have to make up anything, and I graduated on time. And then I moved to Boston, and that's where I met Wendell and Casey, and I called Law. My brother Law was going to college in Marquette University, and I said, come to Boston. We can make movies again. I said, I've met all these great people. He moved to Boston, and that's where everything took off.
Well, see, you asked what makes Dini so
tick.
And it's tick. Really just the natural juices, I think.
Yeah. I have the metabolism of a gerbil, my friend Franny Breer told me, so... anyways, one of my great new influences is Chad Van Galen from Canada. Hmm. I Googled one day singers that sound like Neil Young, who I adore, Neil Young. And up pops this guy, Chad Van Galen, who has the most incredible voice. He's a recluse songwriter. He sits in his basement with computers and electronics. He builds his own guitars and instruments and plays banjo and sings. And I was grabbed by a song that is in my new show on June 25th, by the way. I'm playing Musty Chiffon and the Flesh Magnets. at Club Helsinki. The Flesh Magnets are all out of New York. Melora from Rasputina's on cello. Michael Holland, musical director, on piano. And then there's guitar, bass, and drums. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Bass, both stand-up and...
upright and electric bass.
Wonderful.
It's going to be a really great, fun show. And I will be performing two songs by Chad Van Galen. And anyways, so this is the song that really, really turned me around, just flipped me over in while I was standing upright. Whatever that means. Chad Van Galen with The Blood Machine.
That's a wild song.
Isn't it hauntingly beautiful?
And what does it mean? Do you know?
I can't figure it out. It's either about the movie The Matrix or the Bush administration. One or the other.
I can see that as a flip-flop. Absolutely.
Anyway.
And you perform it also?
Yes, with the Flesh Magnets. So that'll...
What is your version in the sense of what are you thinking when you're performing?
Well, I had Michael Holland, my musical director, immediately upon hearing his version said, well, it's an off tune. He tunes his guitar off and his banjo's off a bit. So we put it in tune and re-recorded it. And it will be on, I'll be releasing a CD later in the year, and it'll be on that.
But it's being a Musty, you know, when Musty does it, it's sort of turned into a torch song. It's very dramatic.
It's a ballad. I turn it into a big ballad.
Yeah.
From your version, from what I've heard, it almost comes from your heart. You could sort of sense that.
Sarah, could you pass Chad a tissue, please?
I'll be okay. Really.
So anyway, I wanted to tell you about Jackie O, the first song that we did. I actually got to re-record it in 2000 and tore discotheques in as Musty. And that came about. Is this a good time to tell you about that?
Absolutely. I think it's great.
Anyway, I was performing in Key West, and a couple guys came up to me and said, we own a record label in Los Angeles, and we think you could sing anything, and we know all about human sexual response, and we're wondering if you would consider re-recording Jackie O as a disco song, and do you know any producers? I'm like, well, you guys are the recording company. Don't you know any producers? Yeah. So I had just met a guy a few weeks earlier in Key West named Bob Esty, who used to work with Paul Jabbar for Casablanca Records. Mm. And they produced such hits as It's Raining Men, Last Dance, Take Me Home for Cher, Barbara Streisand's
main event. Yeah.
And so that clicked. We recorded Jackie O. I ended up moving to Los Angeles. Wendell and I ended up moving from Providence to Los Angeles because these people who also recorded the song had a newsreel company, and I became one of their on-air spokespersons, interviewers. So I worked at the Grammys, the Oscars, Diversity Awards, all that kind of thing on the runways, and got to interview hundreds and hundreds of stars, had a blast. And during this time, Lee, I don't know why I'm bragging, I'm name dropping now, but anyway, one night I got a phone call from Bob Esty, and he goes, what are you guys doing a week from this Thursday? And I said, nothing. I looked on our calendar. We were free. He goes, you're singing background for Barbara Streisand. Oh. And I'm like, what? Al Gore was doing his campaign fundraiser at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, and we got to perform with Barbara. And it was
very, very nice,
amazingly
contrary to popular belief.
Yeah. Actually, one of the singers in the choir leaked a story to the National Enquirer saying that she was a biatch and all this stuff, and she was absolutely lovely. Mm. And she got blacklisted from working in Los Angeles. Anyhow.
Not Barbara, the background singer.
The background singer. Oh. But Barbara came on. You could hear a pin drop, the janitor, everybody sweeping, everybody in the room just froze because she really commands an amazing presence. And she came on and sang, and she hit an off note and let out an obscenity that I can't say on air, I understand here, and the whole choir burst out laughing. She goes, oh, save it for the show. And anyhow, here's Jackie O, my disco version of Jackie O, produced by Bob Esty.
Jackie Onassis, oh yeah. Aristotle take care of me.
Musty, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Deanie, thank you. Wendell, thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Hudson. Thanks for listening. We'll see you this time next month.
All right. WGXC. Bye. Hi, Donald. If you're listening.